So I'm traveling the world in Thailand on the way to Sydney, Australia, and I'm reminded that what's being taught is not quite right. You shouldn't change your habits. You should change your instincts. Now, along the way to changing your life, you have to change your habits, but that's only a bridge to changing instincts. A dog doesn't have to remind itself to have a good habit of liking meat. A dog is born with the instinct to like meat. If you want to be wealthy, you're going to have to change your instincts. If you want to be healthy, wealthy, happy, and wise, you're going to have to change your instincts. Habits is the bridge, a transitionary period to new instincts. The Dalai Lama said there's three levels of learning, and I see this all the time. I've had thousands of people work for me, more. And guess what? The hardest thing is not even to change habits, it's to change instincts. This is probably why it's the semi-autistic people that are running the world. Because, for example, they have a different set of instincts. They're highly conscientious and organized. They're a little bit OCD. I mean, I hire people and people, it's like pulling nails. People work for me 10 years. They're still not used to thinking with checklists, for example. Organized, you know, like I'm traveling. I'm like, yo, before you get in the taxi to go to the Bangkok airport, check. I wear special pants that have pockets, sweatpants. So left pocket always has my passport. Right pocket always has my wallet. And then I got a bag with my different phones. I got phones for different countries I live in. So guess what? That's instinct. I can't even, like, we try to get in the, I was traveling with people. I try to get on the in the van today. I'm like, I ain't getting in that fucking van until I see step-by-step, military style, OCD style, that I know I got my passport in the left pocket. I know my wallet in the right. Where's my bag with my phones? Where's my laptop bag? Where's my personal bag? And then have we counted methodically? We took a picture before we got to Bangkok when we got in the airport in Copenhagen. 7 bags or whatever the number was, I can't remember. And then my team traveling should match the photos when you land. And you might say, Ty, what does this have to do with life? This has everything to do with life. You can't turn on and off being a black belt. You become a black belt in your instincts, whether you're in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu studio or you're out on the streets, they're the same. It's the same with being successful. Some people are like, okay, when I work for you, I'm going to become highly conscientious. Then when I go into my private life, no. And by the way, the good news is once it becomes instincts, it's not hard anymore. Habits are not as good as instincts. Habits can be broken. Instinct basically can't. You're not going to make Mark Zuckerberg a sloppy person. It's not like a habit, like he used to be an alcoholic, okay, or he used to bite his nails and now he doesn't anymore, but he might fall back into it. It ain't going to happen. You could bet pretty much any amount of money on the fact that Mark Zuckerberg is instinctually kind of a, that's why people think he's a lizard man, reptile, because the dude is so conscientious, he doesn't fit in with the norm of the masses, but he gets the results that everybody wants in life. He seems to be, you know, I don't know him personally, but he seems to have health, wealth, love, happiness. Definitely has wealth. No one's ever had $100 billion net worth under the age of 37, but him. First person to do it in modern times. You know, self-made. Health, wealth, love, happiness. It seems he does a little jujitsu now. He's happily married, I guess, to Priscilla, or I forget her name. And he seems relatively happy. I don't know, but that's the results everybody wants. But they don't have the instincts. And we're born with very primitive caveman, or more accurately, hunter-gatherer instincts. And those instincts, you know, destroy you in the modern world when you're trying to be successful. So trust me. Or don't even trust me. Use your brain. Use the power of observation. Better than any Harvard MBA that you got to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get. Is look at the Forbes list. What do they all have in common? You can look at them as dirty, mean capitalists, you know, who exploit the world. Sure, there's no saints on the top of the Forbes list, that's for sure. But you can also pick and choose the meaningful, helpful lessons that you can take for them. And, you know, they used to teach the Greeks, you know, they used to teach even the 1800s, early 1900s, they used to teach the virtues in school. Now virtues has become such a woke concept, but you could call it the character traits. those are character traits like organization, perfectionism, diligence, you know, perseverance, the ability to do something repetitively if it needs to be done, so that you're not a sporadic, you know, kind of fits and spurts type of person. And this is what will make you great. And if you want to know what'll not make you great, just do the opposite of all of these. You can invert. Who would you bet on? Imagine you bump into somebody. I'm traveling. I've been in Denmark, Norway. Now I'm in Thailand. I'm almost at the airport headed to Sydney. If I'm traveling and I bump into somebody at the airport and I get to know them for 30 minutes and I start noticing, wow, this person's organized. This person's well-spoken. This person's balance between introversion and extroversion, knows when to shut up, knows when to talk, can elaborate without too many words or without too little words, seems intelligent, well thought through ideas, seems, if we do something together, is organized with the structure. When they type in WhatsApp, they don't just do blur what most people do that drives me nuts, which is, you know, I call it stream of consciousness conversation, just blah, 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 blah. Versus they think through their thoughts and they say, all right, we're going to go on this hike in Thailand tomorrow. So, and they use numbers, one, period. I do that in my Slack and my WhatsApp for my company, and it's amazing. People see me, the boss man, going one, period. We're going to do this first, two, period, using the number one. And then when they write back, they fucking don't do any numbers. I'm like, yo, are you noticing a pattern of how I communicate? Wealth can be taught. Cannot be taught, but it can be learned. Meaning, I shouldn't have to tell people that. They should learn by watching, by shadowing is how you will learn. So I just get flat. I'm just astounded. Like, if I went and you like going to a boxing studio and you know the guy punches the bag and does jumping jacks and, you know, jump rope every first 5 minutes, and you go there for years and you always do a different routine from the black belt. You'd be like, what kind of arrogance do you have that this teacher is here doing it? You can see him. You're shadowing him with your eyeballs. Yet you continue to do your own thing. That is the masses. That is the sheep. Everybody talks about the sheep, but they don't know what the sheep is. People think the sheep, oh, you're sheep if you don't buy crypto, or you're sheep if you're not an entrepreneur. That's not really what sheep are. There's not everybody's going to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody has the new crypto. Okay. Nothing wrong with those things, don't get me wrong, but that's not what the sheep is. The sheep have instincts. I have sheep on my farm. I've sheared sheep one summer in New Zealand to pay my way. I ran out of money when I was in Christchurch at the shear sheep. Rotorua all over the world, even in Australia where I'm going. And sheep have an instinct where they do what the other sheep do. That's the sheep. So if you notice that you have habits of the masses, if you write in WhatsApp or Slack like the masses, you're the sheep. If you organize your trip like the masses, you're the sheep. I was telling my team, when you get in an Uber or a taxi at another company, my instinct is to drop a pin where I am in a group chat so that if you ever get in a car crash and you're 7,000 miles from home, everybody can pinpoint you. I don't know how that's not instinct. I always, when I get in a taxi in a foreign country, I always put the map on my own phone to make sure you're not being taken to the wrong place or being driven around to try to make money. That's not, the sheep is just to get in the taxi. The sheep is just to go to the airport. The sheep is disorganization. That's the sheep. People use the sheep term way too loosely in the damn modern world. It's not what the sheep is. The sheep is poor instincts. And habits are great, but they're only a stepping stone to instincts. The Dalai Lama said there's three levels. Level one is hearing, out one ear, out the other. That is most of the people. You can teach wealth. You can learn wealth, but you can't teach it because it goes in most people's ear, out the other. The second one is when you listen. And the listening phase two is not a great phase, but it's better than phase one. And that's when you start to form new habits. So you have to think about it. You're like, okay, I'm typing in WhatsApp to a team, five different things. Okay, let me check my checklist. All right, yes, I take my notes. I need to do number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. Okay, all right. You go into the box. Okay, I need to forcibly notice that my teacher always does jumpy jacks, punches the bag, and does jump rope. Don't do my own thing. Let me follow them. That's phase two, habit formation. It's not great. You know, there's books, Atomic Habits, all that. That's all fine, but it's not black belt level or red belt level is what you really want to be. Black belt, coral belt, red belt. Black belts make $1 million to $10 million a year or net worth. Coral belts, 10 to 100 mil. Red belts get over that 100 million of revenue or net worth, whatever metric you want to use. But that is when you go to level three, the Dalai Lama called that instant. You no longer have to think, you know? Like me, instinctually, I don't need a habit to not drink alcohol. For whatever reason, I didn't get the genes. My dad was an alcoholic, but my mom wasn't. And I just never, it wasn't something I had to work through. I didn't have to go, okay, I'm going to form better habits when I go out. I only drink one drink, you know. And some people have to do that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not looking down on that. I got lucky that my instincts, I do not find alcohol that great. I can drink socially, but I am the true definition of a social drinker. If somebody said, Ty, I'll pay you $1 million and never drink again, I'd sign that contract in a millisecond. Because I already have the subconscious instinct. Remember, the old school Freudian way of thinking about psychology is pretty accurate. You have the conscious mind and you have the subconscious. That's layer two. That's the part of your sub. That's the part of the mind that's not at the forefront, but you can access it. That's habit formation. But the unconscious mind, that's back in your medulla, cerebellum, amygdala, your more primitive brain. That's where actual unconscious mind or instincts lie. And that's what you have to tap into, is the changing of the instincts. That's why I said, look at the Forbes list. Why are the top 10 men, humans that are wealthy, all kind of Bill Gates, you know, Elon Musk, Bezos, Zuckerberg? What do these people all have in common? They have that kind of mildly autistic, and I'm not trying to diminish this concept of autism. There's people who have severe autism, but that non-sheep-like high conscientiousness is the technical term in the Hexaco score, the 25 subfacets of personality that scientists generally consider the most accurate. They don't use, modern science doesn't use Myers-Briggs 16 personality, you know, that's old school. They're using the Hexaco score developed in the late 1990s. And you have your 25 subfacets of conscientiousness, which is the most correlated trait in your children, in yourself. If you want to have successful children and be successful, those are the traits I've done. There's the marshmallow test, the famous experiment. Do kids have self-control? You know, that predicts the next 30 to 50 years of their life. But if self-control is not quite the word, you should become more advanced. It's conscientiousness. So if you can change one instinct, that's like a domino, like the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, I've been recommending for 10 years. The one domino that changes your life is instinctually becoming conscientious, not conscientious habits. Habits, you will fall in and out of good and bad habits. Habits aren't deep enough. They're not etched in stone in the unconscious mind. And some of you listening, I got good news and bad news. Some of you born genetically with some instincts more carved in, and that's, the woke world doesn't like to hear that, but that's true. Some of this is genetic, but the good news, that's bad news for some of you, good news for others. But the good or bad news, really the good news, is that it's not all genetic, it's environmental. You can work on yourself. So some practical things you can do is change your damn friends. Number one, don't be spending all your time with sloppy people, for the love of God. I mean, go take a computer programming course, go, you know, find a disciplined martial arts person. Like, you got to shadow conscientious. That's the number one way. The number two, you can consciously work on it. 3x5 note cards, put them, write out some new instincts you want to form and repeat, just drill them into yourself. Eventually, they go from habits in the subconscious to unconscious mind, you know, semi-instincts. That's number two. You know, and then number three, and this is a weird one, but you should study your family tree. There's someone in everybody's family tree that's high in conscientiousness. And you should hypnotize yourself. Genetic, this is on the genetic front, because a lot of people can say you can't change your genetics. Well, that's true, but no human is descended from one other human. We don't have asexual reproduction. We have sexual reproduction. The purpose of that is to mix gene pools so it makes Homo sapiens, humans, stronger. So find someone like my grandfather, one of my grandfathers, he's a scientist, Martin Birkenrode, and he was, on some things, he was insanely conscientious. He had some flaws, of course, he had bipolar, but when he was in his high conscientious mode, he published great scientific papers that are still used now. He was a marine biologist, then became an astrophysicist. So I got to tap in. There's other people in my family that I'm just as, you know, you're 50% related to your parents, 25% related to your four grandparents. And if none of your four grandparents are conscientious and have the instincts you want, then, you know, go further. Your great grandparents, 12 and a half, cousins, whatever. And so focus the mind on, yes, I do have the environmental stuff I'm going to do, and I even have the everybody in their family tree has those genetics that you want. And so focus on that. That's some people, this is loosely, I'm talking about epigenetics, which is more complex and somewhat controversial, but epigenetics is more environmental things that trigger different parts of your genes. So this is loosely related to that. This is more on the mindset side. So if you found this interesting, subscribe. I'll drop more semi-intellectual rants like this that aren't like pop culture, social media. If you find this valuable, subscribe here and leave a comment on a different rant topic you'd like me to do.